Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, and welcome to Contemplations. I am joined by Harry.
Hello.
And I'm Josh. So, Harry asked me about the accuracy of stereotypes, and this is a field of social psychology, stereotyping, that has been studied since the sort of post-war period. And this is a similar field. You know, we talked about how the social psychology and the political psychologists tried to present authoritarianism as a right-wing personality dimension, and they refused to acknowledge the left-wing dimension.
It's like trying to create its own new stereotype in a sense, mm-hmm. really, because you're trying to just stereotype every single right-winger as some kind of megalomaniacal, authoritarian mm-hmm. madman.
And eventually there was a correction to the literature where they're like, actually, there are left-wing authoritarians, and in many ways,
in fact,
there are lots of things that they have in common with right-wing authoritarianism and things like that, whereby there are commonalities and there are differences. I think there's a similar thing with the state of the literature in stereotyping, in that post-war, it was focusing more or less on stereotyping is bad because it informs racism, and therefore they operate on the presumption that all stereotypes are bad, therefore all stereotypes must be inaccurate.
Well, I think the idea is that all stereotypes, even positive ones, create a negative expectation on mm-hmm. the people that you're stereotyping. It's going all the way back to that South Park episode where they go through the Museum of Tolerance and they're going through the Hall of Stereotypes and they talk about, oh, here we have the Chinese man who's really, really good at maths, and they go, well, even though it's a positive stereotype, it still puts unrealistic expectations on every Chinese person you should meet, so don't even think about that. So even just like a positive general trait mm-hmm. that's understood to be held by a particular type of person is considered negative because somehow it impacts them negatively. I mean, obviously, if you meet somebody and you just assume a load of things about them and then behave rudely or crassly because of that, that's going to be negative, but that's more down to your behaviour.
Yeah, I don't think stereotypes should be viewed as negative things or societally negative. It's just how they're implemented. I think a person can use stereotypes responsibly and it be fine, but it's when they're misused that it's a problem. And I think that the research very much focused on the misuse, because I think it was connected to this research that we've already covered on Contemplations before, whereby they were looking to explain World War II, how can people do these horrible things? And they were looking at stereotyping, they were looking at Nazi stereotypes about Jewish people, and it was linked to those sorts of things. So the idea that there might be something to stereotyping when it was being investigated through those areas, it obviously seems unlikely, and that's only been corrected recently. Sorry.
I was just going to say, in fact, what you're talking about there had, in terms of the Nazis and the presuppositions that were made about the people who were Nazis, kind of informed a lot of the negative actions that the German government took later on in, say, the 1960s, because they assumed that, oh, the Nazis were conservatives, which is a very, very debatable question. Therefore, all conservatives are stuffy, they're oppressed sexually, they're the sort of people who are like, oh, we'll put the hole through the bed sheet tonight, Margaret. They're the sort of people who don't enjoy themselves, all because of the fact that they were coming off of the back of Weimar culture, which was itself very degenerate, and they kind of shut that down. So they went, okay, so obviously what brought about Nazism was all of these people being stuffy and sexually repressed. Ignore the fact that Weimar was one of the most sexually degenerate cultures of its time, and it still brought the Nazis about. That just contradiction doesn't matter. So they said, okay, what we need to do to try and prevent Nazism from rising again is create an incredibly open sexual culture. How do we do that? Why, we put orphans with paedophiles. That's how. That will make sure that they don't grow up to be Nazis. So that weird stereotype, a very inaccurate stereotype about right-wingers and conservatives, led to some really, really horrible and negative real-life consequences. But I think the reason for that is that it was an inaccurate stereotype in the first place. Generally, what you find is if you have a very, very conservative family, they'll have a lot of children, which suggests to me that the sexual repression isn't actually there. It suggests that they were just perhaps...
Responsible,
yes, in fact. And then when they got to a point where they were like, all right, I'm in a dedicated, loving relationship, I'm married now... Bam, you're going to pump them out.
So I find it funny that predicated in the assumption that all stereotypes are immoral and therefore they're inaccurate is itself a stereotype.
Yes, but, and you actually have stereotypes. The left are more, because most of the time it is the left saying you can't stereotype people, it's bad to stereotype people, despite the fact that they have plenty of rude, inaccurate, and just downright insulting stereotypes about right-wingers outside of just, oh, they're stuffy and sexually repressed.
We look at left-wing stereotypes about Trump supporters, for example.
And Brexiteers, for instance. I mean, I recently had to watch that bloody awful Harry and Meghan documentary. Oh, no. And a lot of that was predicated off of a stereotype that if you voted Brexit, you're automatically racist. Problem was, other than maybe one or two incredibly minor incidences, they couldn't actually provide any footage or evidence of this. So whenever they were cutting to people on the street as Harry and Meghan were doing their royal duties, all they got was footage of people who were just really happy for the two of them. This was before they split from the royal family, of course. So I think a lot of left-wing stereotypes about right-wingers are incredibly inaccurate. But actually, that kind of makes sense with the research of somebody like Jonathan Haidt, who made it very clear through a lot of his studies that leftists just really do not comprehend right-wing morality. They don't even think they're moral people.
Yeah, that's very true.
So that's probably what creates the inaccurate stereotyping, whereas the right-wingers, because we have a more, shall we say, full range of moral foundations, we operate on a larger moral spectrum, we can understand different peoples a bit better, and therefore the stereotypes that come from them can be a bit more accurate. Not that stereotypes are necessarily always split down politically. Sometimes they can just come about through different cultures interacting with one another.
But yes, this questionable background of stereotyping research that is mirrored in other areas, I think it has its links to the Frankfurt School and a bunch of socialists basically informing the research with presuppositions that didn't necessarily follow logically. But that means that we've had a bit of trouble, and I mean just the scientific community. Don't really include myself as a part of that anymore, but I was at one point. And there are lots of different definitions, both in terms of culturally that have bled down from the literature and more academically. So I'm going to read through a few of them, and you should be able to pick out as well what's wrong with some of them, because they seem to have been retroactively altered to become a bit more woke. So here's the Oxford English Dictionary definition. A fixed idea or image that many people have of a particular type of person or thing, but which is often not true in reality and may cause hurt and offence. I mean, that's almost like it had been written by the government. It's so laden with that horrible jargony.
Yeah, often not true in reality. I don't know. I've met a lot of snobby Frenchmen in my time that absolutely fit the stereotype of snobby Frenchmen. So mm-hmm. it might cause them hurt and offence. They might get their fifis hurt if I call them a snobby frog eater. But that doesn't stop them from being a snobby frog eater.
So the Cambridge definition is a set idea that people have about what someone or something is like, especially an idea that is wrong.
They're really hammering that home, aren't they? By the way, every single stereotype you've ever heard is wrong. If you go into an inner city ghetto, mm-hmm. all of those young black kids in that gang, they're actually just arranging charity work. They're not mm-hmm. doing anything untoward.
I think it is playing on an aspect of how the word is used colloquially, in that when we say, oh, that's just a stereotype, it's a way of demeaning a generalisation about people. Whereas if you say, oh, well, that seems to be true of a group of people, you don't tend to refer to it as a stereotype, but you can, and it's still reasonable to.
Well,
but people are more inclined to refer to something that is wrong as a stereotype.
I find that demonising the word stereotype and all the associations that go with it is just one of the many, many ways that we, in the modern era, are taught from a very young age to not recognise patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Don't acknowledge the patterns. If you do acknowledge the patterns, that just means that you're prejudiced. Even if you're just going off of what real life has shown you, that's evil. Real life is inaccurate. Listen to me instead.
Yeah, and I think that stereotypes are a form of unconscious data collection, really. When we get onto some of the actual research proving how accurate they are, you'll be quite surprised at how robust they are and how much evidence they are that actually there's a lot more to them than you might think.
It's kind of a Burkean form of the dissemination of knowledge. It's knowledge that is collected collectively and then passed down through from generation to generation. It's hundreds of... I mean, the English impression of the French, as I've already alluded to, is actually the culmination of hundreds of years of knowledge gathered through interacting with mm-hmm. them, to the point where we can kind of assume the behaviour of your average Frenchman. However, it is important to say that, like Thomas Sowell has pointed out, that just because a pattern fits one particular group of people doesn't mean that you have to treat every single person you meet as an individual.
This is what I was saying earlier, in that you've got to use the information responsibly, and you don't just assume that it's true of every member of a group. You assess each individual based on their own merits, and then if their behaviour fits the pre-existing stereotype, then it should strengthen the stereotype, and if it doesn't, then it should weaken it slightly. And it's a constant game of evaluating how representative the stereotype is of a specific identifiable group.
Yeah, I think the other thing is as well that what we're talking about there, you've got to take everyone as an individual. You will get opportunities to be able to do that, but sadly, real life is not optimized to be able to have that kind of long-form analytical understanding of somebody else. So oftentimes it can be used as a shorthand just to be able to get through the day a little bit more easily. Like, for instance, if you're hiring somebody for a job, for instance, and you get hundreds of CVs come through, people do judge by the name, by all sorts of characteristics, not necessarily because they want to be prejudiced or racist or anything like that, just because of the fact that they've only got so much time in a day, best just go off of my gut instinct, mm-hmm. which is often informed by these stereotypes.
Yeah, in decision-making, it's referred to as an unconscious heuristic or an unconscious rule which you automatically follow without your own awareness, really. And it's just used at a cognitive level to conserve time and cognitive resources or mental resources. So it's just easier is probably the way in which you can put it more colloquially. But to carry on with some of the definitions, here's Encyclopedia Britannica: an often unfair and untrue belief that many people have about all people or things with a particular characteristic. And Merriam-Webster just says something conforming to a fixed or general pattern.
How long do you reckon that's going to stay like that? I bet that will be changed soon.
I'm pretty sure Merriam-Webster changed the definition of man and woman recently, didn't they?
I think very, very, very recently, in fact. So Merriam-Webster having such a simple and accurate definition for stereotype is not going to last.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one is just conforming to a fixed or general pattern. That says nothing about the accuracy of it. In fact, it does, because it sounds like they're very accurate.
Mm-hmm. It's also got no built-in moral condemnation of them like the other definitions do, which is interesting. And I found a good neutral academic one as well. This was in a research paper. This is Ashmore and Del Bocca in 1981. So it's going back a little while. A stereotype is a set of beliefs about the personal attributes of a social group. I think that's probably the best one I was able to find as a definition in terms of what is best reflective of the actual scientific literature, which is unsurprising that it's an academic source that's doing that, but I think that's the definition that we're going to be going off of. I wanted to talk about this just because it shows that there isn't exactly a homogenous view on stereotypes. There's still a lot of pushback. There are still people claiming that stereotypes are inaccurate in all cases, which we know from anecdotal experience that that's not true. And this is actually a good area whereby academia and your own personal experiences can intersect quite nicely, because your personal experiences are very relevant to this.
Well, I know that a lot of people say, oh, anecdote, as if that disproves what you're saying. But I'm sorry, in the era of belief, lived experience, that's my lived experience, and also each anecdote is in itself a data point. Mm-hmm. You could take it as such. So if we were to gather everybody's anecdotes and then put it into a study, then you've got a scientific study.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I'm going to talk briefly about the etymology of the word as well, because there's something interesting about how the word has come to be and how it relates to things. So this is from Merriam-Webster again, who provided one of the better dictionary definitions. And this is titled, "What is the difference between cliché and stereotype?" And it says, "The word cliché and stereotype have a good deal in common. Both come from French, both were originally printer's terms, and both have come to take on somewhat negative meaning in modern use. The original meanings are essentially synonymous, referring to printing blocks from which numerous prints could be made. In fact, cliché means stereotype in French. Their modern meanings, however, are quite distinct. Cliché is today overwhelmingly encountered in reference to something hackneyed, such as an overly familiar or commonplace phrase, theme, or expression. Stereotype is most frequently now employed to refer to an often unfair and untrue belief that many people have about all people or things with a particular characteristic."
So they do fit the unfair and untrue part in there, in the larger description.
They do, yes. But I think there's some element of this in the culture. When you say, oh, that's just a stereotype, it is meant to demean people's judgment, isn't it? It's meant to say, that's not accurate, you're just stereotyping. It's a way of saying that someone's being intellectually lazy, pretty much.
Yes, but sadly, we're all being intellectually lazy constantly, every single day, to make our decisions, because otherwise every single decision would take at least an hour to come to.
So I found this really good quote from a Yale psychologist called Paul Bloom, who said, "You don't ask a toddler for directions. You don't ask a very old person to help you move a sofa. That's because you stereotype." And when you put it in those terms, all of a sudden you're just like, oh yeah, there is a bit more truth to this than you might think. Because of course, yes, you have plenty of stereotypes about a toddler. They're not necessarily always negative, although they certainly are when I come to think of public transport and I'm sat in front of one and I get my seat kicked or something, or deafened.
And there's some very negative stereotypes about babies on planes, and yet I don't see a lot of people disagreeing with them.
I've never heard someone say, you know what, I really like a crying baby on a flight. It just makes me at ease.
It really soothes me, helps me get off to sleep. Knowing that somebody in the plane is suffering really helps relax me.
Well, babies cry at a frequency that is optimised to make adults uncomfortable. That's scientifically proven.
Little bastards have dialed it in on purpose. I should have known.
Children have used science for ill. Bunch of science babies just there figuring it out. Anyway.
Like babies are a separate race or something.
So I've mentioned the hostility of academia towards validating the accuracy of stereotyping, and I wanted to read this extract from quite a good book, and this section was called The Unbearable Accuracy of Stereotypes. And I've linked this down below if you want to read the full book.
Sorry, is this one of those leftists who decided to go in and going to research and show that stereotypes are always inaccurate and then found the exact opposite and head in hands going, no?
It's making fun of the people who are just like, yes, they're all inaccurate.
Oh, okay.
They're saying, oh, it's unbearable that this is just true. So it says as follows. 60 years of empirical research has taught us much about stereotypes. Stereotypes can arise from and sustain intergroup hostility. They are sometimes linked to prejudice based on race, religion, gender, sexual orientation, nationality, just about any other social category. They can serve to maintain and justify hegemonic and exploitative hierarchies of power and status. They can corrupt interpersonal relations, warp public policy, and play a role in the worst social abuses such as mass murder and genocide. For all these reasons, social scientists, and especially social psychologists, have understandably approached stereotypes as a kind of social toxin. Perhaps equally understandable but scientifically untenable is the corresponding belief that because stereotypes contribute to these many malignant outcomes, they must also be, in the main, inaccurate. The tacit equation is, if stereotypes associated with social wrongs, they must be factually wrong. However, the accuracy of stereotypes is an empirical question, not an ideological one. For those of us who care deeply about stereotypes, prejudice, and social harmony, getting to the truth of these collective cognitions should guide inquiry about them. Unfortunately, this has not always been our experience. Because of his inquiries into stereotype accuracy, the first author has been accused by prominent social psychologists of purveying nonsense, of living in a world where stereotypes are all accurate and no one ever relies on them anyway, of calling for research with titles like, Are Jews Really Cheap? Are Blacks Really Lazy? Or disagreeing with civil rights laws, and or providing intellectual cover for bigots. These reactions are understandable if one remembers that social psychology has a long intellectual history of emphasizing the role of error and bias in social perception. Nowhere has this emphasis been stronger than in the area of stereotypes. To enter this zeitgeist and to argue for the need to take seriously the possibility that sometimes some aspects of some stereotypes may have some degree of accuracy, therefore, is to risk making claims that are unbearable to some social scientists. However, science is about validity, not bearability. It's about logic and evidence. So that, it started off rocky, didn't it? But it came around towards the end. So yes, I thought this was quite a good summary of just the state of the literature, because there are still quite a few researchers who swear by the fact that all stereotypes are wrong still. Even though with that quote, for example, you don't ask a baby for directions, you don't ask an old person to move a sofa. These are obviously stereotypes that no one's really questioning. No one's just like, you know what, maybe old people can, you know, bench 125 kgs. Well, to be fair, there probably are old people.
I'm sure it's possible. Well, if there are old people who can do that, they are on steroids or performance-enhancing drugs of some form. But then again, surely it would be, here's a stereotype, but all old people are sweet and innocent. Mm-hmm. That's one.
How dare you? That's so offensive.
I know, especially because many of them are dirty old perverts, I'm sure. No, but then there's the other stereotype kind of coming from the opposite mm-hmm. direction, mainly from the left, which is all old people are bigots and racists.
Mm-hmm. I mean, some old people are a bit outdated in their attitudes.
Yes,
I've heard some things that wouldn't fly nowadays.
Some old people are very based, yes. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't necessarily... But they use that as a shorthand to say all old people are evil and awful, and that's why I shouldn't be forced to meet my familial obligations at Christmas, for instance.
Yeah.
That's kind of the excuses mm-hmm. that people use. Some people do use stereotypes in that way as kind of an excuse for themselves to not have to meet certain obligations when they're, mm-hmm. especially when they're applying them to their family members. It's like, you know, for a while when I was a teenager, I sort of had this stereotype in my own head about my parents. If they just tell me to do things, that just means they're being evil. They just want to constrict me and constrain me.
Oh, you too are a libertarian.
No, I had the same view. Teenager.
Yeah, teenagers are just libertarians in waiting. That's what it is.
And libertarians are just...
careful what you say here.
Teenagers in arrested development.
Oi.
To watch the full video, please become a premium member at lotuseaters.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.